Rubbish Podcast.
Right, okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Welcome to Modern Art is Rubbish!
Hey, and Tom, I'm in your lounge and you're in the studio, aren't you? And we've got Queaver with us, who no one knows at all. But Queaver,
no.
But you're an artist that featured on a podcast a while ago. And
yeah.
We talked to you about boundaries.
Yeah, I had a scoop talking to you about boundaries. Yeah,
didn't we talk to you about boundaries, Tom?
Yeah.
That was like last summer, wasn't it? The MA show last summer.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we like. Yeah, and we've since laid down some ground rules for her. So. Right. So, you contacted us. I don't know if you contacted us. I can't remember. But anyway, we went to see you in Eastbourne to look at the Turner Prize, which was not this one coming up, but the one from last year. And what was the reason you wanted us to come out, and me and Tom, to come and visit the Turner Prize from last year in Eastbourne?
Well, the main reason, well, what triggered it was there was an interview with the guy who won it, who's a guy called Jesse Darling, in the Berliner magazine. And he kind of said, like, art is over, basically, or this form of art is over. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I had been to see the prize exhibition, and I found it really frustratingly uninspiring.
Ooh.
Was that after you heard the quote you found it uninspiring, or you found it uninspiring then you heard his quote?
No, so the first time I went with a friend of mine, and just left there thinking, okay.
Oh, by the way, before we went into the Turner Prize, didn't we meet some CEOs of a company, like on a bench?
Yeah, was in BlackRock or something, Blackstone or some investment firm. They were like the richest men in the world, weren't they? And they were sitting
drinking special brew, and they said they were higher than CEOs, weren't they, apparently? That was really interesting.
They were higher than owners, weren't they?
What's higher than a CEO? We're that.
Yeah, they were like performance artists. They were like Gilbert and George of Eastbourne. Is that right?
I thought we genuinely just met two of the richest men in the world. They seemed quite spiritually advanced, sitting on a bench.
They did. They were really
nice. Special brew.
Yeah. It gave me more food for thought than some of the Turner Prize things did. Anyway, talking about the Turner Prize, shall I talk about the first one, which was the big pipe room with the fountain in it? And I'll describe it. It was Ghislaine Liang. I hope I've pronounced that right. Right, and
Ghislaine Liang.
And I'm reading from the actual pamphlet here, which says that Liang's practice takes a critical look at the conditions of art production, its presentation and circulation. Liang has developed a process of art making that results in score-based artworks. The scores are text-based instructions or descriptions that are realised by the gallery team in close conversation with the artist. So, what did it have in it? It had like a baby monitor somewhere. It had a
baby-sized Hoovers and washing machines.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it did, didn't it? Baby.
It had like household devices that you use for cleaning and washing. And they were all small size. Did it have a microwave as well? I can't remember if it had a microwave. I think it was just cleaning stuff, wasn't it?
But I went to, it didn't make me think about art. It made me think, cool, I'd like to have a little tiny washing machine in my small flat that I could do like a t-shirt in.
Yeah, for your little tiny loads of washing.
Yeah, well, yeah. I've got big loads of washing, I'll have you know, but that's not the point, is it? But I'd have to do them one at a time because I've got a tiny flat.
A cycle would be quicker if it's like just one item, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it'd be like 5 seconds.
You could do it in the sink.
Well, I wouldn't put a washing machine in the sink.
Cubicle scrub would it fit in? How tiny is this washing machine?
Yeah, but anyway, I will put links on the website so people could see the work. And also, there was a... This is from the actual booklet. It says there was a wall painting the size of the artist's home studio wall divided into all the hours of the week with the portion of the studio hours available to the artist marked in black. Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. So it was just like a big black square that was agreed, and that was the hours that she has to work. So what did you think about – what did any of you think about it?
It seemed like it was like a bit incidental. Her time she got in a studio doing her art related to the fountain and the other items.
Yeah.
It seemed like a sort of add-on. So I guess it was kind of like, yeah, it was something quite like domestic about it, because it's like a calendar on the wall, I guess, and you've got your domestic things, your Hoover and your washing machine.
Yeah,
it was kind of that kind of vibe going on, but also a fountain in the house, which is just going to get everything wet, isn't it?
Yeah, there was a fountain in there, and I felt it sucked all the sound out because it was kind of like a white noise effect, so you had to really speak very loudly in order to be heard, didn't you? I don't know why I did that voice. Why did I do that voice?
You like that voice?
I think that was purposeful. The fountain was there to cancel noise. That was the purpose of it.
Yeah, and it really did. It really did. I didn't know what the pipe work did, though. There's lots of pipes, wasn't there, going around everywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe that was for the water to come through. Probably.
I remember I got in trouble for turning down the dimmer switch.
Yeah, you're like Martin Creed. You were trying to combine another Turner Prize thing. Why did you want to turn the lights down?
I did. I thought they were kind of inviting what's it called?
People. Visitors.
Participation. I thought it was like what would you do with this space?
Oh, so you had a score, did you?
I had a score. Yeah. So that was the thing that exhibition in particular has not left me. I found it really provocative, and I'm still thinking about it since then, which I guess is a sign of pretty effective art making.
Yeah.
I found that the calendar thing on the wall, though, really... I just thought, like, it seems like such a luxury to have two full days in a studio making art. And then if the art you're making is, like, this score writing, which is the technique she's come up with to write scores for gallery staff to kind of install stuff.
Yeah.
It just felt very, like, I get she's working around the limitations. And actually, the way Tom described it just now made me see it a little bit differently, that she must be surrounded by all this domesticity all the time. I don't know. I just had this kind of basic resistance to the idea. And I like, but then, you know, when you react to something really strongly, and then it kind of sends you off on a thinking journey. So that's what I did. Yeah.
Well, it looked like a bit like a black square on tracing paper, really, wasn't it? That was the kind of effect it had. And because I actually viewed it from a visual as well. I mean, I think visually it was actually quite interesting, the whole thing. But Tom, what do you think? Do you think it was all right?
I think, like, you know, she's in the Turner Prize final selection of people. She should be spending more days in the studio. Get a babysitter. I mean, what's the prize money? 25,000. It's worth chancing it with some extra babysitting fees.
Dialing it in, Ghislaine. You're dialing it in. No. Yeah.
Right.
Don't they get some prize money just for getting selected for the final?
I hope so.
Yeah. 50p. I just made that up.
I mean, like, if I put my studio hours that I spend working on my music, it'd probably be way less than that, actually, because she had like two blocks of days, didn't she? So Well, do you reckon she had it on the wall? Can you remember? Was it like 16 hours or it was less than that, wasn't it?
It said it was 9 a.m. Yeah. till 4 p.m. on Thursdays and Fridays 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. So she had
14 hours.
Yeah. Friday yeah. during the day.
Yeah. So yeah. like, and her like studio, like, because I always imagine like an artist studio is like in their house, but like maybe it's not. Maybe she has to like leave the house.
I thought like, the footage on the baby monitor was her in a studio, right?
Yeah, because like surely if you're like got a baby, you do your art around. But babies love art, don't they?
Babies and the baby it. Special that we did.
Mad
She's having a baby. She's having a baby. Do you remember that one? that was the Fra Angelico from our baby special. We did a baby special. It's really good, Quavy. If you listen to the baby special,
no,
I recommend
it. I'm an auntie lately. It's, her name is Eliana, and she's
Eliana. She wasn't in the baby special. No. Quaver, I said no baby promotion on this show, please. No promotion of your nieces.
The best baby.
Yeah, no, we're allowed to do shout outs to babies. So
we're
aren't
not
we?
Modern babies are rubbish. I'm sorry. I'm not doing a baby. Stop turning it into a baby podcast. Right, on to the next artist, Rory Pilgrim, right? It says here, Rory Pilgrim is a multidisciplinary artist working across a wide range of media, including songwriting, composition, film text, drawings, paintings and live performances. So it was a room with a film with lots of community arts going on the screen.
Yeah, and a massive screen.
And you had to be really quiet because people were watching it. So
yeah.
And it was carpeted, and there
was
like
dark, so people were watching it, so you couldn't really walk. Well, not dark, but you couldn't really. You felt like you couldn't really walk around and look at what was on the walls.
I like the carpet.
Did you?
Yeah. Did you like the carpet, Tom?
I liked the fact that his surname's Pilgrim.
Yeah, me too.
Pilgrim. Yeah. He must have made good progress.
Yeah.
I think at primary school, like, we sang a song, "To Be a Pilgrim." That's what it makes me think of.
To be a pilgrim?
Yeah, song that had that line in it, "To be at the end of each verse, it had to be a pilgrim." Is that a song anyone knows here?
No.
I know about having a hammer and hammering in the morning. That's one we had to sing.
What, and hammering a pilgrim.
I like some of the artworks. It seemed to be him working with the community. So it's almost like a collaborative community arts. It felt like interesting community arts, but I don't know if it worked as an actual installation piece. I don't like to be walking, having to be quiet, looking at artwork. Yeah, mixing video and mixing art in the same place.
Yeah.
No, that's not right. I don't know what I'm saying.
There's a tiny sculpture that I found on the ground. Do you remember somebody had done this really, somebody from the group had done this tiny little sculpture of a tree inside a jar?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But the curator said, do you remember it? The curators had just put it on the beautiful carpet by the skirting board. And I thought, oh, has somebody done some guerrilla art? Like, has somebody just made this and stuck it in here? Because it wasn't on a plinth or anything. And then I checked the wall and it was on there. So it was part of the exhibition, but it was so weirdly placed, like just on the floor, literally on the floor. It was strange.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't normally see like trees in jars either. That's quite
I know, I really loved it. It was beautiful.
It's quite like The Matrix or something.
Trees in jars. I don't like trees in jars.
But it had a kind of vibe of a John Lewis advert because of the music that was playing.
Yeah, the music was very.
There's someone singing in a beautiful voice because it was with strings. It was more profound. Anything sounds good with strings, doesn't it?
It was kind of like the kind of fake emotional voice that you hear on adverts.
Oh, the ace of spades, the ace of spades. They do that, don't they, with the John Lewis adverts? They like slow down. They take a song that's like normally fast and aggressive and make it all pretty. My friend actually calls it John Lewisified. He said that's how he describes those vocals.
That's such a good description for it. Yeah, that's what it was. So it felt very, even if you wanted to like it, you still felt like, ah.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, look, I like community arts and I like what he's doing. So good on him. But
the curation of that was, there were some strange choices because you didn't really get to see the art that people who participated in the project made. And I would have liked to see more of that. Or you didn't feel like you could go in and look at it because you were walking across.
I'd rather have gone and seen it at a youth centre or at a community centre. It's community arts.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was anything to do with community.
Yeah.
But like, maybe I didn't spend long enough, like, you know, thinking and looking at it.
But I think it was hard. I think that's the thing. It was hard to stay in that space. It was like, whoa, there's a huge screen. There's this specific kind of music. You feel like you're invading the people who are watching the screen. So you just want to get out of there. That was the thing.
Like, it's community art, but get out. Come on, don't sit down. Move along, please. Move along. That's community art.
So on to the next one, which is probably all our favourites. Babs Walker. She's Barbara Walker, but I call her Babs. I can't. No, that's after her. Barbara Windsor, my favourite Barbara of all time. Right, okay, but that's, I'm getting off topic here now. Barbara Walker, the artist.
Yeah.
Basically, it was quite easy to describe this one, wasn't it? It was large paintings of people, and the work was called A Burden of Proof. And she big paintings of people, and it was relating to the Windrush scandals, and it so it's big portraits of people. So people who don't know what the Windrush scandal was, it was basically that a lot of people came here from the West Indies, and they had the absolute right to be here, and that was in the sort of late 60s, very early 70s, and they were, a lot of them found themselves being deported or either going abroad and then being refused entry back into the country when they were British citizens. And they've had to fight to get compensation. And the Windrush, incidentally, was the name of the ship or the boat that many people came here when there was a big call out put for people from the West Indies to come and work in Britain because we needed all the extra workers. So it was really good. I thought the illustrations were good. They were massive pictures, weren't they? Massive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was peaceful room because it was quite easy to understand.
Yes.
It was like you go round and look at it. You kind of understood the politics around it. And everyone in the room was very relaxed because they didn't have to think too hard about it. Laid out for you to look at it and think about the Windrush. Yeah, it was kind of, it was peaceful. I'd say it was quite a peaceful room.
And I mean, there was one brilliant picture there, which was called Burden of Proof. And it was a picture of a person drawn onto some official letter to do with, it's probably to do with residency.
Yeah,
there were two documents that really stood out in that room for me, and it was a story. It was evidence that one of the women had been stopped coming back into the country, and then a record of her citizenship test, like years later. And this is probably a woman who grew up in Britain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was really like, I think those two, they were side by side, and they had her portrait on them, and like you could see the dates on when she had been stopped entering the country, and then when she had been redone the test.
Right. So the winner of last year's Turner Prize was Jesse Darling.
Should we do a fanfare for him? Do 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 do.
Quaver, that's Tom's area. Tom, please do a fanfare.
Jesse Darling.
Is that it?
Right, I'm going to read from the leaflet. Right, Jesse Darling works in sculpture, installation, drawing, text and other media, combining industrial materials such as cast concrete and welded steel with inexpensive objects from everyday life. to reimagine the technologies that represent how we live. Drawing parallels between the domestic and the institutional, home and state, stability and instability, function and dysfunction, nature and nation, and growth and collapse, the vulnerability and interconnectedness. Oh, God, I can't read any more of that. Right. Basically, there was a lot of like weird things like weird welded barriers, you know, like barriers used in crowd control. There was bits of like piles of files. There were, it was just like various detritus is what, for want of a better word, you know, and it, I mean, it was interesting, but it was kind of like what I felt was I felt like he'd made art out of meh. It was like the decaying bit of Britain. It was like, this is just like all the kind of like rural Britannia gone a bit stale, a bit. I don't know what everyone else felt. I don't know what you felt. Tom, what did you think?
Yeah, it just, it seemed a bit thrown together. I don't know why he won it. It was just like random pieces put together into sculptures.
It was. I thought he'd taken like that meh, kind of like that feeling of like it's all a bit rubbish, actually put it into perfectly achieved that. It was really well done in the sense that I think he communicated the message, but whether I enjoyed it, I'm not sure. But I remember it. I remember what it looks like and all the pieces. And also they had like hammers with bells on, you know, which was quite nice.
It felt like a little glimmer of hope. He was actually, I have to say, of the four, that was my favourite.
What, the hammers with bells or the actual winner?
I like the hammers with bells.
But it was, if you were awarding the prize, you'd give it to that. Well, who would you give it to if you were awarding it, Marcus? Sorry to like...
Barbara Walker. I'd give Barbara Walker the prize.
That's what I was thinking. I'd want to give it to Barbara Walker just from the children's.
Because she was dealing with something that was so clear, kind of, is that the reasoning? Yeah. Or what?
Who makes the award? Who decides?
The Turners.
Yeah.
And funny enough, that's my mother's maiden name, so maybe I've got more influence than I know about. I've got Turners from East London.
Yeah.
So.
Those little cases. They were a little bit like, you know, the in emergency break glass with the hammer.
Yeah.
The hammer was inside the glass. That's what I thought was like. So how did you get in there?
You get that on trains, don't you? You get a hammer behind a bit of glass, and it's like you can get it in case there's like an accident, the train explodes, there's a little hammer there.
Now, a short advertisement break.
And action.
Oh, Quiva, what's up?
Oh, Tom, I'm devastated. I've lost all inspiration. It's the Turner Prize. It was horrifically uninspiring.
You what? Why don't you just go to modernartisrubbish.com and you can join and you can get Marcus's Creative Echoes book for art inspiration. Have you done that?
I'll do it right now.
Good! And if you can't afford it, you can sign up and get a free Turtle art print for Turtle Inspiration 2! So what are you complaining about?
Don't forget the exclusive episodes you get if you do on the membership, Tom.
Look, I've had it with you as well, Marcus! Why don't you go online, pay your fee, and you can get the exclusive episodes yourself!
I recalled them!
Hello. This is Marcus, and you just heard Quiva struggling to find inspiration. Don't let that happen to you. Just head over to modernartisrubbish.com, and for just $10 a month, that's around £8, you'll get exclusive monthly episodes, my exclusive book, and other goodies to keep your creativity flowing. Also, you'll be directly supporting the show and help us to keep it going.
So, Eads, our Turner Prize, very late, last year's Turner Prize, and we will be doing a Turner Prize one in the future, episode. So, Quiver, it's just to say thank you for joining us. It's been very insightful. And Tom, If people want to get hold of us, where can they do it?
Well, most people have a phone, so use your phone.
Quaver, do you know where you can get hold of us? info@modernartisrubbish.com. And we always like
to receive... info@modernartisrubbish.com.
Yeah, we always like to receive suggestions. And if people want to support, if you want to support the show, you at home, you can do so by heading over to Modern Art is Rubbish. There's a button there. It's a small fee and you get extra bonus episodes. And also, I've written a book about creativity, which is there exclusively. And there's other exclusive goodies. And finally, I think it's just head over to the... Also, yes, please head over to the website, modernartisrubbish.com. Where there's, I'll put in extra links and videos and stuff like that.
It's an ongoing art party, isn't it? Come and join the party.
Yay! Party,
it's an art party. Modern Art is Rubbish. Modern Art is Rubbish. Come and join us.
Well, do you remember, there's one thing to add. Do you remember on the way home we found this amazing exhibition?
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that? Yes. That was great. Do you remember who that artist was?
I remember the guy that worked there more than anything else.
Yeah, me too. He was so pleasant and
yes,
lovely.
They had books, didn't they? And it was a chill. It was like, it was interesting. If I've got photos, I'm going to put a link on the website to that so people can, maybe we could do a little extra chat and I can shove it somewhere.
It was
that didn't sound right, did it?
We had a, courtesy of Quiver, we had a tour of Eastbourne, didn't we? So it was like an art tour.
Oh, yes. No, an art tour. You took us to the really dodgy part of it. She took us to downtown Eastbourne.
You started walking quickly, going, get us back to safety, I'm afraid.
Did I do that voice? Get us back to safety. Now you've got to do your goodbye again, Tom. Our goodbyes. All right, so bye.
Bye.
Can you say bye, please? Bye. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
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 Bye.